Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the turn left, no, right, no, left, no, no, right department here in Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, indeed. The subject today is accidents.
Aha!
Because Bob Steinberg sent us some statements that come right from the police forms that people fill out after an accident.
These are motor vehicle accidents.
Yeah. Huh?
As opposed to Car Talk.
Right. Or as opposed to my baby brother.
I'd prefer a love child, thank you.
Well, here are a few examples of how people reported what happened to them on the road.
Go for it.
I had been driving for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident.
Jeez, it only takes me about 40 minutes.
The indirect cause of the accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth.
It could have been you. Don't think they forgot?
No,
it was a cigar.
The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him.
The old moving target's hard to hit.
My car was legally parked as it backed into the other vehicle.
I love it.
I thought my window was down, but I found out it was up when I put my head through it.
Oh, shit.
I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment.
Bada-bing! Yeah, the mother-in-laws will do that to you sometimes. Look, if you have a question about your car or whether you should take your mother-in-law over the embankment, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Jamie from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, Jamie.
Jamie.
What's going on?
I have the coolest car in America.
Really?
It is a tomato red 1992 Toyota 4Runner with 87,000 miles.
Oh.
And I love it more than my husband.
Tomato red, huh?
Tomato red. It's my dream car. I love it. And I found it in Austin, Texas about 5 years ago, taking really good care of it.
Did you find it in someone else's driveway, or did you actually buy it?
I actually bought it from a woman who kept it in her garage the entire time she owned it. She barely drove it at all. A couple of months ago, I had a problem where I shifted it into gear, and it didn't go anywhere. It just felt like I was in neutral. And I asked around, and somebody told me I should change the transmission fluid. So I did.
Okay.
Got the transmission fluid changed, problem solved, drove it all summer without a problem, till a couple of weeks ago, I started having an issue where I would stop at a stop sign, and as soon as I put my foot on the accelerator, I wouldn't go anywhere. And I just kind of
rolled. Well, you shouldn't have put your foot on the accelerator. That was the issue. If you'd stayed at that stop sign, everything would have been fine.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, but the people around me, they weren't too happy with that.
Yeah, I know. You just got to give them the sign. Come around, idiot.
Exactly. Well, I flashed on my hazards, too, a couple of times, thinking someone was going to rear-end me. But I'd push all the way down on the gas, and I'd just kind of roll forward. But then when I got up to about 15 miles an hour, the car worked fine. Kicks into second gear, start going again until I go to another stop sign, start slowing down, and then the overdrive light on my dashboard starts blinking, and I know as soon as I stop, I'm going to have the same issue when I start going again.
So how does your husband feel about being compared to this car now?
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to ask him later.
Well, when you went for that first transmission fluid change, did they make any comments on the repair slip, like, you were out of fluid or extremely low, or the fluid was very dirty or maybe black?
They did say it took them forever to figure out how to actually do it. They blamed it on Toyota, but I blame it on the fact that it's probably never been done in the life of the car.
Oh, you know, they might have hooked up a machine to it. We have a machine at our shop that actually flushes out all the fluid, but you get to see how much you took out. So if the thing took 13 quarts, for example, and they only took out 9, it would tell me that you had a leak someplace. But they didn't say that. They just said they had a tough time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to guess at this point that you're probably low on fluid. And so you know how to find your transmission dipstick?
Yes.
Okay.
Huh.
You're going to pull that thing out, And if you're lucky, it's low.
Okay.
And you'll be needing fluid. And if you were to add the requisite 2 or 3 quarts or whatever it takes to get it to full, you might notice everything's working again. And that's the best case scenario for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
The bad news is you pull the stick out and it's full.
Mm.
And worse than that, the fluid is black. And
no,
if it is...
Don't even tell her about this.
I shouldn't.
Don't
okay, we have to go now, Jamie. We got another call coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, you want us to spin the wheel of automotive misfortune for you? Maybe let's give it a spin. Hold on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it'll tell us what to do. Can you hear it?
Yes.
Oh,
please.
You know what it says? You're not going to believe this. It
look
says
at that.
Inside the transmission. Uh-huh. We've never, ever, in the entire 20 years we've used this thing, had an answer that made sense.
Oh, right.
But yours does.
This makes too much sense.
So it's very likely that the problem is either inside the transmission and you've burned up the clutches. If that's the case, so if you pull the stick out and it's full,
you're done for.
You're cooked. And so is the transmission.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're falling out of love already, huh? Your husband's starting to look better and better, isn't he?
Oh, he is. This is so sad. I'm going to hold on to hope, so.
You hold on to hope. So you hope that it's low. You throw a couple of quarts in there, and it's okay if you overfill it, because you're going to go to the repair shop immediately, and they are going to find the leak and fix the leak.
Okay.
And the leak is going to be something external. It's going to be a gasket or a tubing or some kind of a seal or something like that.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy.
Is right.
Yeah. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Steven from Portland, Oregon.
Steven, what's going on?
Well, I need your help to decide whether to keep or get rid of a Jag.
Oh.
Oh, really?
How old is the Jag?
1987 Jag XJSC, the hand-built pre-convertible.
Oh.
10,000 of them, I understand, they made by hand in England.
Yeah, they had to make it by hand because they didn't have any machines.
So I got this from my aunt, who bought it in Arizona, the original owner, for 2 bottles of 7-Up, which is a whole different story, which I won't bore you with, but it's very interesting. So I drove this thing back to Portland, and it has been one thing after another. So right now, it needs a new front end, rack and pinion, I believe. It's leaked most of everything it owns inside onto the ground, and now the brake pedal goes all the way to the floor. So if I want to get it fixed, now I got to get it towed. But here's the problem. Every time I get in this thing...
Oh, you're coming up with the problem now. I thought you had given us the list
already.
All
those other things are...
prelude to the problem.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it would take most of my daughter's college fund to fix this thing again.
Oh, yeah.
But every time I get in this car, women actually look at me, which is nothing short of a miracle. And you park it somewhere, and the guys will come up, you know, do a little fist bump like, dude, nice car.
Too. The same thing happens to my brother when he drives a car like this. Women say, look at that homeless guy sitting in that Jag.
You know, and you get in, and there's the smell of the leather, and you're like, I can't sell this thing. I love this car. And then you go in to empty the garbage, and there's this big thing sitting in the garage that doesn't run. You're like, I got to get rid of this thing.
Well, look, chances are, if your daughter goes to college, and even if she gets a degree, it's unlikely she's going to find a job when she gets out. I mean, you know, the economic...
There are no jobs.
Prospects are pretty slim, and they're going to be for a long time. So I think that she would be well served by learning to fix this car. And maybe she could get herself a career in automobile repair. So, I mean, college is way overrated anyway. So imagine how happy she would be to spend every day working with Dad. Are you willing to take up the banner here and work on your own car, or do you...
Do you have a job?
I do, but I probably should quit it in order to work on the car. I'm
getting
my priorities straight here.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you'll be like homeschooling your daughter.
You know, I like that because, you know, she's 11 now, and I've decided I don't want her to date until she's 62. So this way, because, you know, the car's going to break all the time, she'll do nothing with her time except fix this Jag all the time.
Well, this is a beautiful car.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful car to behold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that when they engineered it, They put in that notion that you could actually drive the car.
Yeah. People made a mistake there.
Yeah. So if you just want to be seen in the car, you could just park by the side of the road and be content with that. But so you inherited the car. And how much money do you think you spent on it to date?
I've probably put about $3,000 or $4,000 in this and, you know, ran it for a little bit. And once now, you know, it's probably at least another $1,500, $2,000 to get it back up and running again. And it's just going to keep going. And the question is it worth it?
Yeah, I don't think you've I don't think you've committed enough resources to this thing. I mean, if you were talking in the $20,000 or $30,000 range, and you were starting to wince, then I could say it. But if you're wincing at $2,000 or $3,000, I think you ought to move on. Yeah, because
you're not in love.
So I have a next door neighbor who should remain nameless, Ben, who has a '70 XKE. Which he bought brand new.
He still has that?
He still has it, and the thing is magnificent. And I dare say it looks better today than the day he bought it. And Ben dotes on this car, and in fact, a few years ago, he told me, Tom and I were at his house looking at the car, and he told us that he had spent $12,000 or $14,000 having it painted.
Yeah.
And Tom asked him, he said, does your wife know how much you spend on this car?
And then he looked left and right, remember?
He looked left and right. He walked up the little stairway in his garage to where the kitchen door was, and he very slowly closed the door, and he turned to us and whispered.
And he whispered.
I have a post office box. So if you're going to keep this thing, Stephen, get yourself a post office box. That's the first step. And get used to spending big money. You might need to take a second job.
All right. Well, that's great advice. Thank you very much.
See you later.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Catherine calling from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Catherine.
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah.
That would be Kathy with a K.
Yes, it would.
It never fails.
I'm going to have to plant someone to. So what's up, Kathy with a K?
Catherine.
Catherine with a K.
Yes, I have a 1998 Mercury Tracer, and it's got about 108,000 miles on it. Yeah. Last week, I was backing out of my friend's driveway, and there was this noise that was coming from underneath the car, and it sort of sounded like a cross between like a really low drum and a cricket, because it had like this rhythmic thing to it, and it was sort of like thump, 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 thump.
Oh, it's a heartbeat. You drove over somebody.
And I looked underneath. I made sure I didn't run over anything. So but it doesn't do it when I go forward. It only does it when I'm backing up.
Really?
Oh.
And it's just started. It's like out of the blue.
Did you have to be stepping on the brake to get this noise as you're backing up?
I double-checked that because I thought maybe, you know, we had my brakes worked on about a year and a half ago, and so I double-checked, and I'm not putting the brakes on when I'm backing out because I'm going pretty slow.
Yeah.
Right. So you're just, you've put the thing in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
It's an automatic.
Yep.
And you're backing up.
Not pressing on the gas or anything. I'm just, you know, putting it in reverse.
And then as soon as you begin going forward.
It stops.
It stops.
And it's sort of random. So I could, like, be backing out of her driveway again a couple days later, and it won't do it, and then the next day it will.
Come on, think of something. Ask her what color it is. Grind it with footwork. Do you want anything?
I really want to keep this car. It is so adorable. It's bright red, and it's cute, and they don't make it anymore.
Oh, so the cute is the factor that overrides all the others.
Totally. It's the cutest car.
Do you have a name for the car?
Yeah, my car.
It doesn't have a name like Myra or something? You don't have
No. This is my car, and then my husband has his car. It's mine and
okay.
his.
Oh, so but I found that a lot of women name their cars.
I've never heard of that. I mean, I'm happy to if it's a requirement.
Well, it's not a state law or anything. I mean, I don't know if it is a state law in Michigan, but it's a state law here in Massachusetts where we are.
Of course.
I mean, it could easily be something in your suspension. Don't forget, you are putting forces on the suspension system when you're going backward that it doesn't see when it's going forward.
Okay.
The most likely thing, I think it is, however, is a hung-up brake.
Okay.
Because when you're going forward, it may be that the drum brake is pulling the brakes along with it and not making the noise, because that's the preferred direction it wants to go. But when if there's one of the shoes that's hung up slightly, as you back up, it may be grabbing, releasing, and that's where you're getting that boom, 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 boom.
Oh,
boom.
And that's why it would be doing it occasionally instead of all the time?
Well, here's the test you need to do, I think. When it is doing it, if you can get it doing it at a reasonably high speed, like maybe 5 or 6 miles an hour, step on the brake. Not
gently.
Yeah, exactly. Not enough to stop the car, but enough to kick in the brakes.
Okay.
And
see if the noise goes away.
Either that or apply the emergency brake.
Oh, okay. All
gently, right. And see if it goes away.
Okay.
And if it does, you might want to take the thing in and have somebody pull the rear brakes apart to see if there's a hung-up shoe.
Okay.
And while they're at it, they can, you know, hunt around and see if you have a broken spring. Because broken springs will make that kind of noise, and also bad shock absorbers will.
Okay.
But usually they'll make it going forward, too, or if you bounce on the car. Try that.
Okay.
Try bouncing on the rear bumper. Don't let anyone see you doing this. Do it early in the morning or late at night.
Really give the neighbor something to talk about.
Yes, right? Yeah. Talk about Catherine playing with her car. Anyway, good luck.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
All right, it's time for a short break. And when we come back, we'll have the answer to last week's puzzler.
Refresh my memory.
Oh,
what was it about?
Well, it was about a day in the life of our esteemed producer, Dougie Berman.
Oh, I'm all ears. I mean, I've always wanted to know what he does during the day.
Well, me too. Well, I had to take a few liberties with the story to make the puzzler work, if you know what I mean.
What, you giving him friends? You giving him hygiene?
No. Nothing like that. I didn't have to stretch things that far. But it had to do with him riding his bike.
Okay.
And we'll be back with the whole story and more of your car questions in just about a minute.
So please stay tuned.
The Chev got stuck and the Ford got stuck. Got the Chevron stuck when the Dodge showed up. But the Dodge got stuck in the tractor rut, which eventually pulled out the Ford with some difficulty. A moraine that we'd seen for 1,000 years caused financial joys and biblical fears. It caused some smiles, it caused some tears, but more to the point of our story. For the first time in the collective memory, that old brown prairie that had been so dry for so long was very muddy, boggy, sticky. We'd pull one truck out and get another stuck in, and motors would roar and tires would spin. We'd sink right down to the diff, and we'd all take turns and do it again until no one could move. We'd call one more friend, come on out here, we need you. Bring your truck.
And even though Northwest pilots fly right by a city rather than land and expose their passengers whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Mm.
And this was from my Continuing Adventures of Dougie Berman series. As you know, our esteemed producer, Doug Berman, recently decided to go green.
Yes, as a matter of fact, he even started a compost pile.
He did.
In fact, I think he's wearing it now.
Certainly looks it. Anyway, Dougie also decided to start riding his bicycle back and forth to work. And the fact that he was just a few bean burritos away from that 200-pound mark may have had something to do with it. We're not sure.
Could be.
Anyway, Dougie is one of our Fair City's few, and I say few and I mean it, law-abiding cyclists. In fact, he's kind of a fanatic about it. He obeys all the rules of the road. He signals for all of his turns, obeys the speed limits, obeys all the traffic signs and stoplights, and even yields to pedestrians. The guy's a saint.
Yeah, and the other bicyclists are trying to run him out of town for that kind of behavior.
Absolutely. Anyway, lately he has started to time his trips. And here's the interesting part. When there's moderate traffic on the road, he can make his trip to or from work faster than when there is little or no traffic. The question is, how could this be?
Is he one of those guys who grabs onto the back of a speeding meat truck and hitches a ride?
No, I told you. He's a saint. He obeys all the rules of the road.
Oh, bull.
Well, artistic license. Anyway, how was traffic helping Dougie go faster on his bike? That's the question. Well, here's the scenario. When he leaves for work when there's very little traffic, okay, like at 10 o'clock in the morning. imagine this scenario. He comes to a red light.
Yeah.
He stops.
He stops.
He has to stop because what?
He obeys all the rules of the
road.
St.
Dougie, in fact, he can't even wear a helmet because the halo gets in the way. So there he is sitting there, but the light won't turn green for him because many of the intersections in our fair city, like other cities around the country, have sensing devices embedded in the road that check for the presence of a vehicle. And because he might not be in the right spot, or he might not be enough
mad. Well, stays red forever.
My pal Jeff Parente at the traffic department told me that these things are not weight sensitive. They're induction. They work by induction. It's a wire, and it's looking for a disturbance in the force. And the mass of his bicycle. Now, if we were looking for his mass, we'd be all set. But the mass of his bicycle might not be enough to change that light. So sometimes he has to wait
and wait.
And that explains why he doesn't get to the office until 2 o'clock some days. He's stuck in a red light. Pretty cute, eh?
That's sure.
So who's our winner?
The winner this week is Bill McCray from Raleigh, North Carolina. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Bill is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get our brand new, just released, music CD.
As you may know, we are the world's foremost authorities on disrespectful car songs.
Right. I mean, we concede the reverential stuff to Springsteen and the Beach Boys. I mean, they can have it.
But when it comes to songs about heaps, oil burners, junk boxes, or whatever, car fires, ripped upholstery, and cars that have almost no redeeming value, we are America's go-to guys.
Yes, we are.
And we have collected a whole new batch of these songs from some of America's least known singers and songwriters in a new album called Stairway to Heapdom.
And that's yours, Bill, for being this week's Puzzler winner.
Now, if you're not Bill from Raleigh, North Carolina, that's okay. Stay tuned because there's a new Puzzler coming up and another chance to win. But right now, you can call us with your car questions at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Megan, and I'm calling from Rockport, Massachusetts.
Hi, Megan.
How are you?
Great. What's going on?
I'm calling about a 1993 Saab convertible. My boyfriend and I bought the car about 6 months ago. It has 210,000 miles on it. And the car is great for driving around Cape Ann, but when it gets into traffic, it overheats in about 15 minutes. And the first time it happened, smoke and brimstone and terrible things were happening under the hood. So we pulled over, poured some coolant into it, and then the coolant was just, we could see it, like, leaking out the bottom of the car. So we had the car towed, and we had the hose replaced. So we thought we were all well and good until last week when we were merging onto the Tobin Bridge, in fact, and the car overheated again. So we don't know why it's happening. Once the car cools down, it runs fine. But
they often do. So let me get this right. So if you're driving even for a long time around town, it never overheats?
Exactly.
It doesn't overheat. And what's the longest you've driven it around town without it overheating?
We'll drive it sometimes from, like, the North Shore to the South Shore, so about, like, an hour and a half, 2 hours.
During which time you encounter traffic lights and stop signs and the like, and it, the needle stays in the middle.
The needle stays in the middle, yeah.
And has
if the traffic gets a little heavier, the needle starts to creep up.
But has anyone looked in the radiator to see if it's full?
Well, they filled it up the day they put the hose on.
Yeah. And then we filled it up recently, too. We've been checking to make sure the coolant's still in there.
Oh, so you,
wait.
Did what recently?
Well, after it overheated the last time, the coolant was, like, boiling and bubbling over.
Yeah.
And so we refilled it from that time.
Sounds to me like you got a leak.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll bet you if you don't do it when the engine is hot, but go out right now and take a look.
Take the radiator cap off, if you dare to. The engine has to be cold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's likely that there's not enough coolant in there. And, you know, the biggest demand on the cooling system is when you're driving at high speed.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're asking the car to work harder, and as such, it makes more heat, which the cooling system has to dissipate and can't do it if it's low on coolant. But the good news is, Megan, winter is coming.
I know, right? So you can forget about it for 7 months.
So, I mean, the leak can be caused by a bunch of things. On a car, on a Saab this age, I would say the most likely thing is the water pump.
Okay.
You know, and it could be something really serious, but I don't think you're prepared to hear that today.
No.
Maybe we'll send you an email. Maybe when you're sitting down, you can take more bad news. But I would take it someplace, maybe to the place where they put the hose in, and have them top up the cooling system and pressure test it and ask them to keep the car overnight.
Okay.
Because if there's a small leak, it may not be in evidence until it's had a chance to really sit there with a lot of pressure on it.
Okay.
And then you'll find out that maybe there's a hole in the radiator or the water pump was leaking, and you can go ahead and fix that, and you'll have yourself a working car again. So whatever possessed you and your fiance, is that what you said he is?
Well, boyfriend. But
boyfriend.
Boyfriend. Are there any indications that it might move to stage three here?
We'll see. It depends on how this car runs.
Oh, really? Oh, so who was the one who...
I implored him to buy the convertible. I thought it would be a great car for bopping around Cape Ann. But
oh, you were right.
Yes, and convertibles are so kind of romantic, you know?
Exactly.
You just see yourself with a scarf. I mean, I always like convertibles with the wind blowing through my bald spot. You know, and so I can see that, you know, a convertible would be attractive to you. And he was dead set against it because it was the car has so many miles on it.
He's on board, but a little bit less than me.
A little bit less than you. And so if this doesn't turn out well, you think it may have an impact on the future of your relationship?
Very possibly.
That's you know, this is a good test,
that's
Megan.
Great.
Because if this undermines it,
uh-huh.
It wasn't worth it to begin with.
Exactly.
All right. Well, good luck and get your radiator and your water pump checked.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
See you, Megan.
Same here.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy. 888-CAR-TALK. I mean, I felt incumbent upon us to give her that little bit of relationship advice.
Yeah. Well, I think you were right.
Yeah. I mean, if this is going to cause a major problem, wouldn't you want to know right now?
Yeah. And it's not going to.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Too bad none of your wives didn't see the signs. Anyway, 888-CAR-TALK.
They loved the convertibles that I had.
That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amit from Arlington.
A-M-I-T?
Yes.
Okay. From Arlington, Virginia?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what's up, man?
I have a 2002 Acura RSX. And a couple months ago, the clutch would just squeak while it was raining, and now it's squeaking all the time. And I hate to use the word squeaking. It's almost like when you watch a horror movie, that slow creaking noise that the door makes when it opens right before someone's about to get killed.
Yeah. Oh.
That's the sound my clutch makes.
And when does it make that sound? When you step on the clutch? When you take your foot off the clutch?
It's more when I take the foot off the clutch. And it doesn't affect shifting, and not sure what to do.
I know what I do.
Turn that radio off.
Exactly. I would do nothing.
Is it? Can you tell where the sound is coming from? In other words, is it coming from inside the car, where your feet are, or is it outside?
That's hard to tell. I've had friends sit outside the car, and they can actually hear the sound outside the car.
Well, here's a good test. Have that same friend stand outside the car, maybe even with the hood open.
Okay.
And listen to the noise. You don't have to have the engine running to hear this noise.
That is correct.
You can just sit there and it'll go, it sounds like a squeaky hinge.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then have that person sit in the car and try to tell you if the noise is louder in the car. If it seems to be louder in the car, it's apt to be coming from what's called the pedal cluster, the place where the pedals hinge. Okay? So that clutch pedal is hinged to a fixed point, okay, under the dash, and it pivots on that. So when you press on that, you're pushing on a rod that's actuating the clutch master cylinder. Now, if it's coming from inside there, you can spray that with a lubricant, maybe a silicone lubricant or maybe some other kind of petroleum-based lubricant, and you might be able to get it away. If that isn't it,
or you can forget about it.
You can't forget. It's driving him crazy.
Okay.
No. But if it's coming from other than inside the car, then it's coming from the clutch release bearing or where the clutch release bearing pivots. And you're going to have to perhaps have somebody look in there and maybe even spray some lubricant in there. It might just be rusty or just dry. There might not be any lubricant in there. You can't go spraying indiscriminately into that area because that's where the clutch is, and you don't want to go spraying oil onto the clutch. So that's why I'm suggesting you don't do it yourself. But it would be nice if you could isolate the noise and then take it someplace if you can't figure out, you know, where to spray the stuff. But under the dashboard, you can spray anything you want. It'll just drip on your pants for about 6 months afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah, and you certainly don't want to spray the rubberized pedals, you know. You want to make sure that you cover them up, and you don't spray so much that it does drip for 6 months. Usually six okay. days is enough. But if you can isolate the squeak, if you hit the right spot, you'll know when you've got it because when you spray that lubricant, the noise will go away.
Okay.
And then you'll be in love with the car again.
That would be great.
Good luck, Amit.
Thank you so much.
See you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Eileen calling from Truckee, California.
Eileen. Hi. Is that where the Truckee River runs through?
It is.
Yeah, there was a famous song, Darcy Farrow. They sing of Darcy Farrow where the Truckee runs through. I thought it was somebody behind the wheel. Anyway, what's up? What's up, Eileen?
Well, I have a question that my husband and I have a debate on. And
yeah.
What it's related to is actually when you're in the car and you're driving down the road, all of a sudden if you start smelling something stinky, what is the best thing to do?
Ask him to get out.
I know. If it's coming from within the car, yeah. My thought is you roll the window up really quick so you keep the stinky from getting more inside the car. His thought is you should just roll the windows down because he thinks it's too late. It's already, the stinky's already in the car.
I see. Well, I had an example. I had this situation just last week. I was approaching an area with all this federal stimulus money that's out there. I don't know how it is in your state, but I do know how it is in your state. But in our state, at any rate, they are paving every road imaginable. So as I was approaching the area where they were paving, I began to sense the stink.
Ah.
Now, the stink was in the car. If it weren't in the car, I wouldn't have smelled the stink.
Exactly.
But I rolled up my windows because I sensed the stink was going to get worse because I was driving toward the stink.
Ah.
All right, so that's one scenario. So imagine if you drove over a skunk and the stink was in your car. What would you want to do then? I think you'd want to open the windows then. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Open the windows.
I think so, too.
Yeah, so I think the source of the stink and the distance and the speed at which you're closing in on the stink or retreating from the stink determines the plan of action here, Eileen.
And it's not always easy to figure out.
So what would be the fallback? In other words, if you weren't sure what to do, I think you'd have to roll up the windows.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, I'd roll up the windows.
Because you don't know that it could be getting worse.
You don't know that.
You don't know that. And you don't want it to get worse.
Yeah. Well,
and it's not going to get better until it gets worse.
Right.
We were driving down the road the other day, and we were behind a real big semi-truck, and it poofed out a big black smoke cloud.
Yeah.
With diesel. And so I was like, quick, roll the windows up, because it was coming towards us.
Yeah.
And so he's like, it's too late. It's already here. And we have a baby, so I didn't want her to get smoked.
Oh, we just heard her.
But when you saw the puff, did you then smell the diesel or not?
Barely.
Oh, that was the time to roll the windows up.
Okay.
You were right.
Yeah, because at that point, it was fast enough that we could just roll the windows up and prevent more stinky from getting in.
Yeah. And as soon as you get around the truck, you can open the windows and clear it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if he should ever say to you, quick, open the windows. You know, he had too many beef burritos for lunch.
Exactly.
Oh, but I think you're right, Eileen.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Okay.
See, have fun with your baby.
My daughter says so, too.
I agree with her, too. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, look, before we get to this week's new puzzler, I have a little follow-up.
To what?
Well, several weeks ago, Molly from Kentucky called with a cracked windshield.
Oh, the coin lady.
Exactly. And she'd heard, not from us, because we wouldn't have figured this out, that if you glue a coin to the end of a crack in your windshield, it'll keep the crack from spreading any further.
And we told her what? Go go for it.
Well, we told her to try it anyway, but we said it was unlikely to help.
We were humoring her.
Of course we were. And she was obviously short on funds, but then we got this note from Wally, and the subject line is, ready for this? Accolades.
Really? I thought the coin thing was bogus.
Well, here's what she says. You ready?
Yeah.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to tell you that being on your show solved my cracked windshield problem.
No kidding.
Well, you were wrong about my insurance covering it. I had a feeling we were going to be wrong. And I couldn't get the coin to stick to the windshield. But after hearing how pathetic I sounded talking to you guys, you ready for this? Yeah. My boyfriend took pity on me and bought me a new car. Thanks, Click and Clack. You guys are great.
Boy, we're good, aren't we?
Put that in the wind collar, eh? Anyway, when we come back, I'll have a new puzzler, and this one is from my Perfect Words series.
Wonderful. And we'll answer more of your car questions, too, so please stay tuned.
It can fix anything from the crack of dawn to a leaky inner tube. Just when you think you've seen it all, it finds another use. In pickup trucks and kitchen drawers, from NY to LA, there's a role in every toolbox, from Spokane to Tampa Bay. When you're up the creek and powerless, you're fouled up worse than ever. Duct tape's there to keep it all together.
And even though squirrels pelt the NPR sign with acorns whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new puzzler. And I did say this is from my Perfect Words series.
All Perfect Words.
Yes. And
what's that?
Well, you're going to find out, maybe.
Okay.
Okay, and this was sent in by a fellow named Rick Thorne, and he gave me a list of words, and I monkeyed with them a little bit, but not much. The essence of his puzzler is still there.
Okay.
And I'm going to read you this list, and you're going to tell me what these words have in common.
Gotcha.
And if you want extra credit,
yeah,
you're going to suggest another word or two or more that might be
added to
the list.
Oh.
Okay.
Excellent.
Pay attention now.
I'm ready.
Write these down.
Yeah.
Carbon. Mars. Four. Yeah, not floor, but four. Like one, two, three, four, you know, four.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Seventh. September. Saturn. And fifth.
Fifth.
Yes.
Now, all these words have something in common?
Yes, they have something in common, and I'm going to give you a hint that the order of the words does not matter.
Wow.
You want the words again? You want them in a different order?
No, the same order.
Carbon, Mars, 4, 7th, September, Saturn, and 5th.
And all those words have something in common.
Yes, now if you think you know the answer, you won't be doing this,
and
but
you,
others
you
may.
You call them perfect words.
They're
though.
Perfect words, yes. There's some element of perfection about them.
Perfect.
Well, it may be a little misleading, but there's certainly something unique about them, and that's why they all made the list. Okay.
Interesting.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the underside of two heat-track, 240-volt, 3x10-foot snow-melting traction mats with reinforced UV-stabilized natural rubber surfaces, 35-watt per square inch power density, and a continuous snow-melt rate of 2 inches per hour. And send it along with a 55-gallon drum of Swiss Miss powder. No mini marshmallows, please. To Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Look, I'm just trying to prepare myself for winter here.
So am I. That's why I'm Googling flights to Aruba.
If you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Brian in Estes Park, Colorado.
Hi.
Hi, Brian in Estes Park. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I've got a problem with my Jeep that I'm hoping you guys can help me figure out.
Yeah, well, we'll give it a shot. What do you got?
It's a 97 Jeep Cherokee. It's got about 285,000 miles on it.
Jeez.
If I start it in the morning and drive to work and it sits there for 8 hours, then it'll start up right again when I need to drive home just fine. If I do go run an errand, like if I run to the grocery store, when I come back out, the car will not start. Like, any time it's been sitting for maybe less than a few hours, it won't restart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, does it crank when you try to start it?
It cranks. Like, the engine will turn over, it'll try to start, but it'll never fire up. And the only remedy is to let it sit for, like, 4 hours. And
so the problem is it won't start when it's hot.
Right. It won't start if it's hot.
It's like you got no gas.
Yeah, I've got no gas.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I'm suspecting what you have is either no gas because your injectors aren't firing off, or maybe no spark. So I'm going to suggest something really, really far out.
Okay.
That you take it someplace and leave it with them, especially when here's what you do. Get it good and hot so you know it's not going to start, and pull up to a place and block their driveway.
And they'll figure it out in 10 minutes.
Exactly. No, I wouldn't be surprised with 285,000 if it's almost anything.
Okay.
But it could certainly be a bad fuel pump. It could be a bad fuel pump relay. It's most likely to be something called the crank sensor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when it cools off, the connection is made again. It's an inductive little device. And if it gets, and why it continues to work when the engine is running is a mystery. But we often see this, that when the thing is shut off and then has to be restarted, it won't restart. But it works all right. As long as if you start it up and drive it and don't shut it off, you're good to go maybe for hours and hours and hours without any consequences.
Right.
Yeah. So you got to take it someplace and block their driveway.
Okay, and I've got kind of an ethical question that's connected with
this. No, it's okay to block their driveway.
Well, my question is, this afternoon, I'm driving from here to Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the way, I can't make it on one tank of gas.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to stop.
So I've got to stop at the gas station.
And shut it off.
And what I've done in the past is I just leave the thing running while I fill it up with gas.
Mm.
But every gas pump in the country says no smoking and don't leave your engine running.
Yeah.
Mm. So I'm wondering, and this is what I've just been doing it so far, but, you know, when I have my wife drive this car, am I putting her life in danger of a massive explosion or everyone at the gas station, or should I just keep doing that until I get it fixed?
That's what they're afraid of.
I think for this one time you might be all right. I think we can give you a partial exemption here. I don't think we'd want you to make it happen. I
got a solution to it.
Okay.
What you do is you take with you a 5-gallon empty can. And then you're going to stop ahead of the gas station, and you're going to walk there with the can in your hand and fill it up with gas.
Ah. And then what are you going to do?
You're going to walk back to the car, then you're going to empty it into the tank.
Oh, you're going to do this 5
then
times.
You're going to walk to the gas station.
You'll be exhausted.
Fill it up again. You're going to tell the guy you have 5 cars back here.
I'm filling up all the other people who ran out of gas, too. I think the reason they want you to turn the car off is so that you don't accidentally drive off with the pump nozzle still in the tank.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And it's hard to do that if the key is off. You know, so I think there's a safety reason primarily why they don't want you to leave the car running.
Okay.
If you can be relatively sure that no one's going to drive the thing away, you can probably put gasoline into it. Now, lots of cars, if you do this repeatedly, will set off the check engine light, but you don't care about this thing. You're lucky it runs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I would make your trip. And with any luck, you'll break down before that first gas station, and they'll be the ones to fix it. Good luck,
okay.
Brian.
That sounds good. Thank you.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
I think the 5-gallon can is the answer.
It's brilliant.
I thought so.
Maybe you can get a 10-gallon can. 888.
Two 5-gallon cans.
Oh, it's like saddlebags.
Yeah.
Good idea. Maybe you can get a jackass to... You want to go with him?
No.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Squirrel from New Orleans.
Squirrel?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Just lovely. And yourself?
Yeah,
New Orleans.
Good. That's a great name. I go to New Orleans all the time. Where do you live? Come and visit.
I live in the outskirts of New Orleans. I live in a place called St. Rose.
Oh, yeah. You're way out of town.
St. Rose, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how the names? Where'd you get the name Squirrel?
Friends.
Friends.
Friends. Should we know how that name came about, or do you not want to divulge it?
Let's not divulge it.
That's what I thought. Anyway, okay. How can we help you today?
My wife has a 2002 Nissan Altima, and we bought it secondhand, and it used to be that we were told it was a rental unit. Well, what the car does is it makes a noise. from the rear of the car, kind of a sounds like the noise should be accompanied with a wobble, but it's not.
Uh-huh.
I followed her in my car behind her to see if the rear wheels are wobbling or something's rubbing, and I can't see any wobble or rub or anything.
So you don't see anything going on back there, but you hit, and the noise gets worse the faster you go?
It goes with the car. The faster you go, the faster the noise goes.
Yeah.
What's the minimum speed at which you begin to? You don't hear it at 5 miles an hour, do you?
No.
You don't hear it at 20 even, I bet.
Most of the time I hear it the minute I get in the car, but I mean, that's, you know, when it's rolling, when it's, probably past 20.
I think it's your tires. I mean, it certainly could be a wheel bearing, and you wouldn't notice that by following behind, but it could be the tires are scalloped, you know, or worn out unevenly, so that if you were to run your hand over the tire, it might feel like there are pieces of the chunks of the tire rather missing. But scalloped tires are often the result of tires that are on an axle that doesn't have good shock absorbers, or even if it does, cheap tires tend to get worn out in that fashion faster than good tires, because when a car travels at high speed, the tire doesn't stay round anymore, and all kinds of weird things happen to it insofar as how it wears when it gets misshapen at 60 or 70 or 80 miles an hour, and big chunks of the rubber can get worn off, which wouldn't happen if the car was always traveling at, say, 20 miles an hour. So I think you need to examine your tires or go to a tire place.
Okay.
And when it's up in the air, you can have somebody spin the rear wheels, and they can listen to see if there's a wheel bearing gone. But usually, you know, wheel bearings will make a growling kind of noise.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, and I had them replace bearings when we bought the car.
Oh, you did?
And this has gotten worse since you bought it?
No, it's always made this noise.
Uh-huh.
But when we took the test drive, the guy had the radio on, and I didn't notice it.
That's why he had the radio on.
That's good.
Yeah, first thing he said, hey, squirrel, what kind of music you like to listen to? Yeah, well, I think you may need some rear tires.
Okay.
That may be it. But have somebody run. You can do it yourself. Run your hand over those tires, all over the tread, and you may feel that they're very uneven compared to the front ones. And if you want to do a test, you can move the fronts to the rears.
And see what happens then.
And see if the noise travels and goes to the front.
Yeah, because you may not be able to feel it.
So, good luck, man.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, see ya. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Michelle. I'm calling from Toronto. I just moved here. I'm originally from Texas.
Hi, Michelle.
Toronto, Canada?
Yeah, Canada.
Okay, so you moved from Texas.
I moved from Atlanta, but I'm originally from Texas.
Oh, okay.
I've never actually lived where it's cold before.
Yeah.
You're going to freeze your buns off.
Well, what brought you from Texas to Atlanta to Toronto? What's all that traveling
about? Well, I'm a professor, so I got a good job here at a nice university.
Oh, itinerant professor. I got it.
What do you teach?
Political science.
Okay.
Good. Thanks for calling.
So what's up, Michelle?
Well, I have a 2003 Jetta that I care about very much, take good care of, and I'm wondering what I need to do to winterize it, you know, what kind of tires, and my friend says that my windshield wipers are too wimpy for the winters up here.
Well, the first thing I'd get is one of those Arc'teryx jackets. Forget about the car, because no matter what, you're going to need one of them.
I've also heard about boots, right? I need boots.
You need boots. You need the coat. You need the Bronco Nagurski long underwear, because the jackets only cover your butt. What else do you need? Okay, now let's talk about the car.
Okay.
So you're going to drive in snow, which you haven't done before, in all likelihood.
Nope.
And your car is only a two-wheel drive car.
So you're going to need...
You're going to need four snow tires.
Four snow tires.
Yeah.
So does that mean that I have to have two different sets of tires, one for winter and one for summer?
Yep.
Yes.
That's what it
and
means.
And you might want wheels. Yeah, are you planning to stay for the long haul there?
If I like it, yeah. If I can survive the winter, maybe.
Okay, so you'll be there one winter. Okay. in which case, I don't think I'd buy wheels yet. You have alloy wheels on this car.
Yes.
And you might be able to replace them with steel wheels, in which case you could buy four snow tires and four steel wheels, mount the snow tires on those steel wheels, and then store the other tires, the regular tires, in your apartment.
Okay.
Or maybe in your office.
All right.
What a pain in the neck this is getting to be, right?
So that's one thing. And other stuff like windshield wiper blades and all that, yeah, you could probably stand to have those. I would make sure that your antifreeze is up to snuff.
Okay.
It probably is, because even cars that are sold in Georgia have antifreeze that's good for 40 below zero.
Mm.
You know, but I don't know how cold it's going to get where you are, but it's not likely to go much below 40 below, but you may need to get yourself a block heater.
Oh, okay.
No, the plot thickens, see?
This is not easy.
This wasn't in the ad, was it?
No, it wasn't.
No, looking for political science professor with block heater. So you might need a block heater, because even in spite of the antifreeze, it might take so long for your car to heat up that you wouldn't think you even had a heater in the car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
I see.
So you need let's write it all down now. You need the Arc'teryx jacket. You need the Bronco Nagurski long underwear. You need the block heater. You need an ice scraper. You need a nuclear-powered ice scraper, because you can't use one of the wimpy ones. You need some heavy-duty one. You need four Nokia Hakia Polita snow tires. So right now, I get you up to about $11,583.
And you need an alarm clock, because you're going to have to wake up about 2 hours before to get all this stuff done. You know,
right. It's going to take you 2 hours to get the long underwear on. That's why the position was open.
Yeah, that's true.
But you gotta get snows and you know, oh, you gotta get the wiper blades too, the winter wiper blades that don't get all crudded up with ice and whatever.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I think your biggest concern is that you crash the car, you know, because you don't know how to drive in snow. So you have to be very careful and drive a lot more slowly than you think you should be driving.
Okay,
you know,
I will do that.
You start out and practice. You know, when the first time it snows and you have a chance to get out and drive in it, go into a parking lot or someplace where you're sure you're not going to hit something and see how your anti-lock brakes work and how the car handles when you go into a skid, and force the car into a skid and see if you can get yourself out of it.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
It sounds like a plan, yeah. And don't forget the long underwear. All right. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Send us a picture of you in your battle dress. See you, Michelle.
We wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Oh. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our web blackie this week is Catherine Frau Blucher Fenerosa. Doug the Old Gray Mayor returns next week from his attempt to re-rescue the Von Trapp family. Our engineer is John Cartman Parotti. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Davignon, Champignon, Saucisson, Bourguignon, Filet Mignon, Sol Limon, Soupe d'Oignon, Oeuf Jambon, Vin Maison, Boeuf Bouillon, Rose Pignon, Venison, Côte du Rhône, Petit Bonbon, Dine Alone, Atone and Groan, it's John Bugsy Lawler.
Say that again.
I can't. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. My brother's official co-pilot is Yvette DePants. Our PR specialist is Hugh Lyon-Sack. Our jewelry appraiser is Made of Fine Gold. Our long-distance cycling enthusiast is Major Ashburn. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the anarchist pedestrians in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
I agree. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 944, saunter through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Or if you prefer, you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the many off-label uses of Car Talk.
Right, I mean, everyone knows you can listen to our show if you want to, but what else does it do?
We know it's been used for herding sheep.
We also know it's an excellent skunk repellent.
It helps cure insomnia. I mean, look at our staff right now.
And according to one of our listeners, it's a dog laxative, which I don't really want to hear any more about at all.
Web lackeys have pulled together all the mail we've gotten on alternative uses of Car Talk, and you can read it all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though turtles start shopping for shells with better sound insulation whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.